wanna be down with the king.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Good Friday morning, everybody. It is Friday. Woo! The weekend is here, and it is awesome. And we got a big weekend here with the A's coming to town. How awesome is that? Anytime the A's are in town, it's big. All right, it's going to be a large series this weekend. And we head into the All-Star break, and this team needs a break. They played so well for so long. The pitching has cooled off, obviously. Fromber, once again, another quality start. The most.
That was an unbelievable quality start because it looked like there was no chance.
Yeah, right.
13 pitches to get six outs over the last two innings of the quality start. The fifth and sixth inning, he went seven pitches, six pitches after really struggling with some control issues. Well, and
that's happening more and more now. Yeah, the pass ball.
The pass ball by Maldonado.
There's an epidemic going on now. Corey Lee in the 10th, too. Put ball right there, a strike, and he just can't catch it.
I mean, Maldi's got to catch that. That's not on Fromber at all. I don't even know.
Fromber. It happened last Saturday in Oakland.
Yeah, it wasn't anything crazy off the play. It was just an inside. It was a trailing fastball, and he just, I don't know. He just missed it, and a run scored, and it tied it up 2-2. Cost Fromber a potential win, and of course they got the win with another Jeremy Peña game-winning hit.
A single
in the 10th.
I love him going the other way.
I mean, too.
It just means he is a shot. If he tries to pull that ball, he hits it right into the ground to shortstop.
He knows, he understands hitting. That is a player who has a mindset, John, of that's a guy who you can tell his dad was a major leaguer.
Yeah.
Like he's a mature hitter already.
No,
and maybe it helped that he went to college. I don't know. I mean, I think it definitely helps. You know, in basketball, you know that guys who played in college have a certain level. Their game is more mature, too. In baseball, I would assume that would be the case. Although, you know, I'm not going to just correlate college baseball with aluminum bats and the way that they play it necessarily to pro baseball. But you are, you know, you're playing more baseball than an 18, 19-year-old coming out of high school, getting into the minor leagues. I don't know. He strikes me as a very composed person in general.
Yeah. No, I like him. I like him up near the top of the order. It's going to be very difficult when everybody's back. Listen, this team is down. Altuve takes it off the knee. We'll find out whether or not he can.
Yeah, Altuve, for those who didn't watch, Altuve got
first pitch,
got hit in the knee, and then limped around the bases, ended up scoring a run.
Yeah.
And then they had to pull him out of there, and we will wait and see what they say about that. It's a good thing All-Star, you know, this could knock him out of the All-Star game, too.
Yeah. You know, no Yordan, maybe no Altuve. Of course, now Verlander is going to be pitching Saturday. Is he going to – do you want him to pitch? We talked about this yesterday, whether or not that's a day he would throw anyway, and so maybe you give him an inning. Yeah.
Fromber will pitch.
Fromber, you know, he pitched last night.
Will it be a six-pitch inning or a 24-pitch inning for Fromber?
I don't know. He's had too many of those lately.
In the All-Star game.
I mean, that's been happening a little bit. These guys losing focus, losing control. Walking guys in seems to be – or passed balls getting in. It just is –
that's how Fromber's two runs came. Pass ball and a bases-loaded walk.
Yeah.
Those were his two runs he allowed. You know, but really, he had a high – he was at 80 pitch count after four innings. And he literally – a little higher than that. He literally went – seven pitches the next inning, because they're like, well, you know, the streak is in jeopardy here. Quality starts. He goes seven-pitch inning followed by six-pitch inning. It was unbelievable that they were basically taking Fromber off the hook, and he had another quality start.
Yeah.
That's Fromber. What's the number now? How many straight quality starts is it?
Is it 15 now? I think it's 15 quality starts, and that's Astros record. He is just
consecutive.
Like you cannot ask for more than he has done. And yet, the walks and the there are some innings that there's just such a lack of focus for whatever reason, and then it's wham, 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 wham. Same with Luis Garcia. And last, and the offense, man, holy crap. They go, they get hit by pitch, walk, hit, hit, walk, hit, run, and then, like, virtually nothing again. Mm-hmm. I mean, they are so, it is so hot and cold with the offense. Of course, you're missing a lot of guys, and you can't, you really can't, you got to just give it up. They're doing what they have to do to win baseball games. This is through the dog days. You got the All-Star break coming up. I'm sure all of these guys are looking forward to it. They've played great baseball. I'm sure they all need a break. So, you know, you just got to give it up. When you bear down and you win a game like you did a couple of nights ago, when you blow the lead and you're able to come back and you're able to win it at the end, and then you're able to come up with the win. And Presley, once again.
Man, that was – so Montero and Presley go three innings between the two of them. Press goes two innings.
Two innings.
And again, three strikeouts,
nothing,
no hits.
Nothing, nothing, nothing.
Clean sheet. It was a no walk, no hit. It was clean sheet for Ryan Presley. And then Montero was an inning and three strikeouts. And so and Nuriez wasn't exactly great. Which Hector do you trust more?
I don't.
Nuriez or Salamanca?
Ooh. Well, I know what Salamanca is going to bring. I don't know what Nuriez is going to bring.
I know. I know Hector Salamanca wants you dead.
Yes,
I know he has a consistent hatred in his heart for Gus Fring.
Yeah.
I know that.
Right, I know.
What I'm going to get every time from him. He's going to sit in a chair. His face is going to be contorted, and he's going to ring that bell. I know that every
How
time.
How do you act like? For those of you who don't know, this is Better Call Saul.
Yeah,
and it's the
and
uncle.
Breaking Bad originally.
Yes, and Breaking Bad, and it's the uncle who's got the a palsy face.
Yeah.
And hand, and he rings the bell. That's all he can do because he can't talk.
That's how he communicates, is ringing his bell.
Yeah.
And when he gets excited or mad about something, ding, 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 ding.
Right.
And I trust him more than I trust Hector Nuriez right now.
He's again, more consistent. I know what he's Hector Salamanca's going to bring.
I trust him more. I feel like I know what I'm going to get from Salamanca every time out. I don't know what I'm going to get from Hector Nuriez.
Right. Either he's really, really good
one
or he's
pitch,
really, really bad.
Two hits, and I'm like, don't do this. Don't screw this up, please.
Well, we talked about it yesterday, Josh and I, on YouTube, on the Sports Map videos that we do. You got to pick up a lefty, right? I mean, because Maton is your – Dusty trusts Maton with lefties. He said it just the other day. Why did you bring Maton in? Well, they got lefties up there, and I like him against the lefties. And we know what Maton brings to the postseason. Well, at least we know one year. We know one postseason. Maton, with his resting Maton face, is going to come in there, and he's going to do a good job. Can we wait all the way until the playoffs to find out if Maton can pitch again? Because Maton can't pitch right now. You can't put him in a game with in a high leverage situation. You just can't. So what do you do? It's almost turned into lefty reliever is top priority.
Yeah, you really do need one. You know, you didn't have one last year, right? No, there was no one last year.
Well, you got Maton got your outs. Outs.
Yeah. You really need a lefty reliever this year. You really do. And that's one that you should be able to find.
Yeah.
And the Astros, we're not talking about a high-dollar guy. We're talking about a guy that the Astros scout, spin rate, fits the mold of a swing-and-miss left, you know, lefty-on-lefty guy. You almost could do a sortable stats search, if you're the Astros, to find exactly what type of metrics you're looking for. It'll come up with, you know, five different pitchers within a certain age, within a certain cost frame, and say, okay, these are the guys we're going to go target. So, yeah, I would say that's the most likely position they address now, more than center field, would be, I think, lefty reliever. It's another righty.
Yeah.
I mean, you got a big arm in Montero.
No.
Nuriez is not going anywhere. You know, we'll see what they do with Christian Javier. We'll see how they handle that, because a lot of that is going to depend, I think, frankly, on just Lance McCullers. And then, of course, you know, Presley, who's pitching great right now. If you could get that lefty reliever, that really fills in one of the slots that's missing for you. But
I think that's top priority.
Fromber, three straight no decisions.
Quality starts. They're not hitting for him. They're just the bats just fall asleep.
How about this? 15 straight quality starts. 16 of his 18 starts have been quality starts this year. That's incredible. I mean, for a guy who will struggle who has struggled with control at times.
You mean like walking a run in?
Yeah. I mean, for that guy to have quality starts, you know, those pitchers get high in the pitch count. That's almost impossible to have 15 straight quality starts. The way that you do it is you've got to have, you know, you can't be that wild all the time. But the other thing is you got to be able to pitch to contact some, and he can do that. That breaking pitch, when he's on, you'll just beat the ball into the ground. It'll be a bunch of ground outs.
Yep.
And that's what he's doing.
They got the win. You know what? Come home. Let's go. Get over here and finish this up. Finish up this weekend up. Get your break. And then the Yankees on Thursday. The Yankees doubleheader on Thursday. Day-night doubleheader. This is going to be fun.
The Yankees aren't the boss of me.
The Yankees aren't the boss of anyone. All right, 713-780-3776. If you've got some thoughts on this, we got some. How about a LIV golfer is at the top of the leaderboard at the Open Championship? A LIV golfer. How much would that
USA, USA. But see, this is what happens. He's not a foreigner. He's a USA guy.
Well, he's a foreigner there.
But he's not a foreigner to golf.
Not to... Oh, yeah, there was actually everybody outside of England and Scotland are foreigners to golf because it was born in Scotland, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So there he is absolutely a foreigner.
Well, but not real golf, like
no,
modern
real,
golf. Not,
no,
not modern
frisbee golf.
No, no, no. Modern golf is USA.
No, it's not. There's no.
Wingfoot, Rabbit's Head.
There's
Quail
no
Trail.
Place called Rabbit's Head.
Quail,
or Quail Trail,
Trail up in northeast.
There's no place called Quail
New
Trail.
New York.
Or Rabbit's Head. Okay? There are no golf courses called that. You said Wingfoot. You were right about you had that one.
Cricket Foot?
No, there's no Cricket Foot. There's no Cricket Foot. All right, taking a break. We will break that down for you on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But first, what if your knee breaks down?
Boy, if your knee breaks down like my wife's, actually, she's bone on bone, no cartilage. And we actually have to go in and get the another MRI done, a couple different images. Because here's the thing. If she has anything in there at all, then the regenerative, restorative powers of the all-natural biological therapies that take your growth properties, they completely make it compact and I don't know the word for it. What am I looking for? They want to take your growth properties and expand that and highly concentrate it. That's the word I'm looking for. And then they put it back into the, back into the joint. So what will happen is if she still has some growth property in there, if she still has some cartilage, it can start to regrow that cartilage for her. And that's a huge game changer. That's something that they can do for you as well with your shoulder, with your knee, your ankle, your back. I don't care where your chronic pain is. If you have a lack of mobility, if you have chronic pain, they can help you. And I know you're thinking, okay, I got to get this steroid shot, and how many can I have in a year? Okay, only three. Wow, I'm going to have to spread this out. What do I do for pain management? My mobility's not great, so obviously I can't play golf or I can't go do this or that anymore. Why are you thinking like that? Did you know that QC Kinetics can help you? And not only can they help you, and they're right here in Houston, but they can help you so that you don't have to take those shots. You don't have to have surgery. You don't have to have the downtime. You definitely don't have to take the drugs to cope with the pain. Let the experts at QC Kinetics help you with the most advanced therapies known to man right now. That's QC Kinetics. 713-913-5285. Massive game changer in the space, and you guys should take advantage. 713-913-5285.
ESPN 97.5. Found the Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. As we speak, Dustin Johnson, well, he's in the clubhouse, shot 67 today, 9 under for the tournament. The CEO of the RNA met Martin Bumbles or something. Brumbles. Yeah. Martin, yep. Brumble.
Martin Brumble. Martin Bumbles.
No, not Martin Bumbles. It's Martin, it's Martin Brumble.
The CEO of the Italian Golf, they call him Martin Bumbles because he always bumbles everything up. This guy is such a jerk.
This is different.
Yo, It's our guy. You heard of him? Marty Bumbles.
This is Martin Brumble, I think, or something. He's very...
We call him Marty Bumbles.
No, no, no.
Though.
He's very... He's not Marty Mumbles, okay? No, he's not with De Niro and the boys in the back room playing cards.
Yeah.
He will not be happy if he gives a LIV golfer the trophy on Sunday.
I can't imagine.
No, he will not be happy whatsoever.
I can't imagine any American's going to be happy with that.
What? Well, why? I mean, what do you mean? Why is the
Martin Bumbles?
No, no. Why do you think no American is going to be happy with
because
that?
Because that's an evil league. It's USA versus an evil
league.
Yeah,
it is.
This is easy. This is Rocky versus Drago.
This is
really easy, John.
Did you see that Cristiano Ronaldo turned down the Saudis?
$275 million. That's when you know when money's not a thing. Like Cristiano Ronaldo has made so much money.
Oh,
you know,
gosh.
LeBron. LeBron is the first billionaire.
No.
Cristiano Ronaldo been had billions. It's a joke. Cristiano Ronaldo has so much money. He's like, we will offer you $275 million. Like, I don't want to go there. Look, your number, your paychecks now at this point are just numbers to me. It's where I want to live and what I want to do. That's all Cristiano Ronaldo cares about. Where can I be? Where can I maximize my happiness? I don't care what your money is. I can go get $200 million from anybody.
Right.
This is easy.
Right.
I did see that, and it just goes to show that's how much money he has.
Yeah. Well, yeah. He's got. He's.
I
got
mean, he turned down $275 million. A quarter of $1 billion he turned down.
Yeah.
Because he's also, it's an irrelevant.
Again, he does, you're right. He's got money. He doesn't care. He doesn't care. No. I'm going to take the high road here. I don't need the Saudi money. I don't want the Saudi money. I don't believe in the Saudi money. That's because you've got bajillions of dollars. That's why you don't care about the Saudi money. You don't need the Saudi money.
Yeah, you don't need the Saudi money.
Yeah, right.
That's easy for you to say, and
that's easy
for other people to say. But look, there are some golfers, professional golfers out there, like and semi-pro golfers out there, who are actually looking very closely at the LIV Tour.
Right.
Looking very closely at the LIV Tour.
You've always been super honest with us, and I'm about to put you on the spot here because you love golf. You know I love golf. And there is this rumor I've heard from a couple people in the golf world that the LIV Tour is coming after you as like a face of their media, like an analyst or something like that. Is there any truth to that, or is this just rumor?
I'm going to meet with LIV.
So there is some truth.
Truth, to be always transparent and honest. They called me and asked me what I meet with them, and I said yes. Nothing is imminent. I actually don't know everything they want from me or what they technically want me to do, but you got to always look at every opportunity that's available.
Mm-hmm.
So the answer to your question is 100% yes, I'm going to meet with LIV.
Okay, so who was
not
that?
Get this straight. Not to play.
No. Who was asking that question? RJ? Do you know? Okay, RJ.
I'm going to meet with Lou.
Whoever that was asking the question, they thought they were making a funny joke. I thought it was a funny joke. Like, you know, Lou is meeting with... Oh, it is true.
Well, no. As an announcer? Wait a minute. Charles Barkley...
As a face of...
Well, it's as a...
He's not an announcer. He would not be an announcer.
Oh, I don't know. He announces when Tom in the matches. He's an announcer.
Yeah, but this is real golf.
It doesn't matter. Charles Barkley might do as an announcer.
Well, he just said they said as a face of like as a media personality,
right?
As a face of like
right.
that. I guarantee
you know
he
what
would,
they're. Brought,
do you think Charles wants
you know
to
what
sit for four? Well, three
well,
days
he
and
sits,
go through that.
He sits on the right, set
yeah,
for,
like,
for days.
I feel like
on
he could have used a lower club, maybe come in with a little bit of draw.
No, what he'll do is he'll bring lightheartedness. He'll bring viewers. Are you kidding me? Which is something they really need.
I think real golf fans would be pissed off if Charles Barkley's ruining.
Oh, I don't, ruining
a golf. Like, who are you trying to get
I don't
with
think
Charles
so. I would
Barkley?
Love. I, think I'm Rick, a re- right. Hold on. You're talking to a real golf fan. I watch golf all the time. If Charles Barkley was on the broadcast, I would watch.
If Charles Barkley isn't on a broadcast,
I'm not watching.
You watch golf all the time.
I haven't watched one second of LIV.
No, if, not live. But you watch golf.
But that's what they're doing, Lance. Live once, Charles Barkley.
But I don't think
it's... Listen, that's exactly what they're doing.
You think that they... Okay, you're going to have to show me that, because right now I'll bet you my 500 to your 100 that Charles Barkley's not going to sit on and do an entire golf broadcast where he's commenting on golfers. There's no way. He's supposed to be the fun guy. This is for tourism, right?
Yeah. It's what he does. He's on the course. It's what Charles does. He in the matches, Charles is part of the broadcast.
You're saying just sit in the matches.
I didn't say sit in matches. I don't know how they'll use him. They might use him in the studio. I don't know how they use him. But as part of the broadcast, they will use him.
But not as part of the full-time.
I have no idea.
It would be a one-off as a clownish.
Do you know what they are?
Not real golf, because this thing isn't real golf.
Well, it is. Well, it's real golf.
It's not. It's
I can't do this, Ernie. Ernie.
Oh, no,
he's not a real golfer.
No. But he is a fun guy to watch. He will absolutely bring
viewers. Lightheartedness and comedy.
What they need is viewers. And Charles Barkley would bring viewers to a broadcast. So that's exactly why they're doing it. And if you know what? If they pay him a bajillion dollars, which they do to everybody, I'm sure Charles would sit there for 3 days.
I'm gonna ask
eight times a year.
Maybe he does TNT, but also coincide with basketball stuff.
And there's only six tournaments left. Only 3 days each?
Are they Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Saturday? Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
I believe.
All right, then he might.
Knows. I haven't watched one.
He might not have to do TNT. Here's the thing. I don't doubt that they would try to get him as part of the thing. Is this is not about making money? It's about tourism. It's about changing. It's about changing the branding for Saudi Arabia.
That's exactly
what it is. Charles Barkley makes perfect sense. Lighthearted, goofy, clowny Charles Barkley.
Don't forget, they never did kill a journalist. That's just that's a terrible rumor. That's a terrible lie. Saudi Arabia is a lot of fun. I had so much fun in Saudi Arabia.
You know, that's the kind of stuff you get from Charles Barkley.
Right.
Which is fine. I don't think that's stupid to try to get a Charles Barkley in doing stuff like that. On a broadcast, this is what I would ask. Anybody who watches the PGA Tour on a regular basis, I know your opinion. Are you more likely to go watch because of Charles Barkley if you're a hardcore golf enthusiast?
I will tell you this. I liked broadcasts with David Faraday on them.
Yeah.
Because he was lighthearted. Because he did bring an element of...
But he knows golf.
But he knows golf. Absolutely, he knows golf. Charles can't play. But Charles has watched plenty of golf. I mean, yeah,
Charles doesn't know golf.
He can't tell you what you're swinging and any of that stuff.
Yeah.
But Charles would bring a lightheartedness to the live. He would bring a notoriety to it that the live golf desperately needs.
I don't disagree about any of that. What I'm saying is I do not think you could have him as a primary part of a broadcast. And maybe that's not what you're saying either. You put him and look, he doesn't have to travel. I mean, he might not even have to travel anywhere. You just stick him in a studio and you let him zoom into the broadcast. That's how they do all of the... Have you ever seen... When's the last time you saw PTI? They don't even show up in studio anymore.
No.
It's just all like the pandemic changed everything.
Yeah, right.
Charles Barkley could be a major part of... Oh, I say a major. He could be a part of something like...
I feel like DeChambeau has played very good golf.
He's not going to add anything that golf fans don't already know.
No,
he's not going to add.
What
anything.
He's going to add is, oh man, DeChambeau is not good today. He needs another shot of that stuff, whatever he's taking.
That's what he would add, and that can only be a very small part of golf. I don't know if you know this or not. Golf is not fun, and it's not happy.
To you, serious.
It's throwing clubs in the water.
It's the most fun thing that you can possibly do.
It's helicoptering clubs in the water on the first hole.
No one except you does that.
No, other people do that.
No one on the first hole.
If you've ever thrown your club, call in.
No, and on the first hole, if you've ever thrown your putter in the water on the first hole.
That's too specific.
at Tour 18.
You remember the course.
Uh-huh.
That's too specific.
No.
I'm sure other people have thrown a club into the water.
It's not like your putter was letting you down all day. You missed one putt.
Dude, I was late getting there. I didn't get to go swing. And you know why I was pissed? I didn't get to go hit balls. I hit a great drive. I hit a great second shot, and I three-jacked. And I three-jacked from about 12 feet away, and I was so pissed that I didn't even warm up, and I had a chance to get a birdie, and I didn't even end up with a par, which was clearly the putter's fault. And so, yeah, I threw it into the water, and I'm glad I did. Did I have to putt with a 3-iron the rest of the day? Sure. big deal. I actually, you know, you square the face up a little bit.
The first hole.
Wait,
who throws clubs on the driving range? Lance does.
Yeah, but I can't
Dick
be the only
Horman
one.
Was so, oh my God.
I can't be the
only
one.
It was the happiest I've ever seen Dick Horman.
There's other people.
What is there's he? He's on the driving range throwing his club.
Can you imagine?
All right. Speaking of the driving range, we had a we'll get Kama in on the other side.
That really is named Kama?
Uh-huh, Kama.
That's a new guy.
As opposed to, I don't know, exclamation point. He's Kama. We'll get him in on the other side. Plus, we had a meeting yesterday. Speaking of golf, we had a meeting yesterday. We'll talk about it.
Speaking of golf, we had a meeting.
We had a station meeting yesterday, speaking of golf. But right now, and as a matter of fact, the reason that I was on that golf cart was because of Artisan Grange, was because of the dip, was because the guys who are the clients asked me to come and play with them. And I said, absolutely, I got a meeting, and I'm going to have to meet you out there. And no, I missed the first two holes. But these guys are so unbelievable. Listen. We were talking about this. It is something that is healthy. It is something that you need in your life. If you dip, no tobacco, no nicotine, okay? They taste. You've got the traditional tobacco flavors. You've got original fresh flavors like mint and berry and ice mint. And if you're looking for a way to stop with the sloppy spitting and the unhealthy, and good Lord knows what could happen to your lip and your jaw and everything else, and it's happened in the past. And if you think, well, it's not going to happen to me because I'm different. No, you're not any different. You need to stop dipping and start dipping with not only hemp, but also CBD, which has its healing processes. And if you're looking for a great way to stop dipping and turn to this alternative, no tobacco, no nicotine. Go to 975dip.com, 975dip.com.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
Sitejab.com, right on top of Passive Investor. I'm talking about Sitejab.com. I don't know who did that company's website. I know they should have called Sitejab. If you got a company right now, if you are in charge of your, if it's your business, or if you're someone who is a decision maker, maybe just someone who wants to getting good with the boss, you should tell them about Sitejab. Sitejab has been building websites for 24 years, but it's really much, much more than that. When you go to the website, you'll see exactly what they're all about. They work on the front-end design, which is the part that gets your eyes and grabs attention and keeps the attention on your website for longer, which is, you know, gives you basically a much better chance for you to turn those eyes into actual revenue. But the other thing they do is they create leads, and they do that through branding, identity, lead generation, social media management, professional video production, and they have e-commerce that they can put on your site to turn those eyeballs into instant revenue if you can get people interested in what you're doing. Sitejab.com, S-I-T-E-Jab.com. You can also give them a call at 713-820-6925.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
They're going low at the Open Championship. Dustin Johnson with a 67, Scotty Scheffler 68, Tyrrell Hatton 66. Sergio had a beautiful round today. He shot 6 under. So they're going low, as our guy yesterday, Scott Sajanek. He predicted there's not going to be much wind out there. If there's not much wind out there, then they're going to be able to score.
Yeah, except for Tiger.
Yeah, Tiger
worst
was terrible
round
yesterday.
In the history of, I'm telling you,
his
man.
His worst opening round at an Open.
It's, we may have had some fool's gold. I think it's going to be, putting together 4 good ones is going to be awfully tough for Tiger at these majors. He missed a lot of golf. He's actually missed a lot of golf over the last 10 years.
10, 15 years. Yeah.
He's missed a lot of golf. He's dealt with a lot of physical ailments. He's dealt with a lot of psychological changes. Yep. Yeah, and now he's dealt with his worst. You know, he almost lost his leg, and now there are still people who expect him to compete for majors, having to walk tournaments for four for four straight days, it's just going to be awfully tough. It is going to be awfully tough. You think Tiger ever ends up at LIV? You think LIV's still going on in 3 years?
No, not what he said the other day.
That's what I'm saying.
Tiger came out and really crushed it.
Tiger grew up in golf. So, I mean, I know a lot of these other guys did, but to Tiger, I think this is the penultimate. And this was his goal, was beating Jack Nicklaus's majors title. And, you know, being such a young Masters winner, and Tiger just has such a deep appreciation for the PGA Tour that I cannot see him going over there for any amount of money. And Tiger's one of those guys, unlike most of them, he's had marketing deals that pay him, will pay him probably, you know, as much as marketing deals for his career will probably pay him as much as most of these guys will earn career in their on the tour.
I mean, he passed up on a billion on this deal. It was close to $1 billion what they offered him.
That's another guy who's got enough money.
Yeah, he's got enough. He's got bleep you
we'll
money.
Say, yeah,
and
whatever.
And just say, no, I've got integrity. And the other day he came out and said, and he made sense. He said, listen, you don't know that you're going to get into majors. Forget about the Phil Mickelsons and the older guys, the Sergio Garcias and those guys. They've been in the majors and everything else. But there are young guys that are out there on this LIV Tour, guys who never played on the PGA Tour, that are not going to be able to play in majors. They're never going to be able to play on great, great American courses in tournaments because they've decided to take this route. And he said that you're missing out on an opportunity to have a great career because you're for 3 days of golf and you're doing it for money. And that's not what we're doing here for. And there's absolutely something to that. So, I don't know if you saw Lance's tweet. You didn't at me. You just tweeted.
I guess I just tweeted.
Yeah, you just said, this is John Granato on brand. And you took a screenshot of a meeting we were having.
It was a Zoom meeting. Yeah. And it was me. It was Jason Barrett, who is the station
consultant. Who's in New York. He's in New York.
Right. Yeah. That's why we do Zoom meetings.
That's why we do a Zoom meeting. He's our consultant, and he's in New York.
RJ.
RJ was on it. You were on it. And you don't see, I put my picture on. I put a Zoom with the video. Mm-hmm. You don't. Because I don't know where you were, probably at Roostar while we were having this meeting.
Well, I wish, but no, I was just in the room. I've got two NFL computers. One video doesn't
work. What about your phone? You could do it.
One camera. Why would I do it off the phone when I can just turn a computer on?
Well, because you can't. Because obviously you can't share video with your computer. That's what you
said. Well, I thought I actually was using the computer with the video, but it turns out it's the older one that doesn't have the camera. The camera output doesn't work. So. Okay. Regardless, you would have seen nothing but me just sitting there.
Well, I saw RJ laying in his bed.
Yeah, yeah. I'd have been sitting there in a chair, and I'd have been listening, and then I would have been also...
RJ was tired, okay?
Yeah. Well, that's the way you do it.
Yeah. No. If you could, you would have had your food out on your bed with your towel.
Yeah, that's the way you do it. I was just sitting in a chair. Listen, I'm not the story here. I was sitting in a chair just listening, pretty boring. RJ was chilled out, laying sideways, just kind of... hanging out, listening to the, thing. He had his video chat on.
So,
and then there was you, and you got the sun is in our eyes in the background.
Well, yeah, first I went
down.
First
we're watching you eat.
Yeah.
Like you got your phone.
Burger Chan.
You
had a breakfast sandwich from Burger Chan with the spam.
Yeah, it's really good. You could have just turned off your video function.
I could have, but I didn't care.
But you kept it in your cup holder, I think.
Right.
So we could see you driving and eating.
Right.
You know, because that was important.
I got to eat on the way to golf.
That was important.
So I got a tea time, and instead we're talking about, we got the consultant on. How did you guys feel about the show today? What are your feelings? You know what my feelings are? I don't want to talk. We did the show. I don't want to talk to you now. I want to go and play golf.
John keeps looking at his watch. I got tea time at 11.
He starts the meeting like this. We're gonna try to keep this to 45 minutes instead of an hour because and I was like, what? What are you talking about?
We can
get this done
minutes.
In 12 minutes. You know what? Yeah, I feel great. All right, everything was great. What do you want to do? Okay.
Hey, tell the truth. When you were program director at 1560,
I never had a 45-minute meeting.
How many meetings did we have ever?
Zero.
As a station.
Hey, I come in here. Yeah, stop sucking. Bye.
Yeah, so needless to say, John was not in a huge hurry to have a long meeting because you had a tea time. So sure enough, you see the unmistakable, the sun's. You know, you got your camera way down here, your phone, and you're walking, and you got your golf stuff on. And before you know it, he's in his cart. He's got his video, he's got his phone propped up in his cart, and he's just driving. You can see he's driving to the tee box.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is so on brand. We're having a Zoom meeting, and you're just, literally headed to the tee box.
I was listening. And
I think at one point you disappeared. You turned your video off because I think you went and hit.
I put it up toward, that's all I did was I put it up to the sky, and I put it right next to the tee. But I turned I put the mute on so you couldn't hear me hit the ball.
Oh, that's what it was. It was the mute.
The mute on, and then I hit. Okay,
yeah.
And I'm like, okay, when is this gonna end?
When is this gonna end?
What the hell? Oh, what are your feelings? you know what? I don't want to talk about my feelings.
Well, that's
about.
Not he say. What are your feelings? He just ask your opinion on stuff. It wasn't Dr. Malfi from Sopranos.
Yeah, it was
asking
you
about
good?
What how
how do you,
and
do you
how
feel
did that
good
make
about
you
yourself
feel?
Right now? Yeah, I'm good enough. Damn it, I'm smart enough. What?
Stuart Granato Smalley?
Yeah, that's what he's that. Oh, can we end this meeting, please? And then you go put it on Twitter. Okay,
yeah, I gotta get a picture of John. Straight crotch shot too. You're just like. It's an upskirt shot with you. Like, why do we have John's Titleist? Why do we have his Pro V's in this shot?
Because
that's just all I could get. I just screen grabbed it.
No, honestly, I'm listening to it. I put it down. I put the mute on. Hey, everybody, what's going on? I'm talking to everybody. I'm getting my clubs out. I'm swinging. I'm like, oh, my God, when is this going to end? Holy crap.
And then John would unmute and say, yep.
Yep.
Absolutely. I totally
John,
agree.
Thoughts?
I'm like,
nope.
He's not listening.
Nope, I'm good.
Unmute right in the middle of Jason talking. Unmute. Yep, for
yep.
sure.
Well, no,
sounds
no.
good.
Yeah.
Mute.
That's good.
God.
Everybody
he's,
good? Everybody good? We're good?
He's putty.
We're good? Everybody good?
He's putty.
We feel good about the show? Okay, bye. Thanks. Thanks, Jason. Bye. Anyway. Oh, my gosh. What do you got to have show meetings for? You do it. You do the show and you go home. What?
I mean.
You go play golf. What?
Yeah. I mean, are we putting it up to a vote? Because I'll vote out show meetings.
RJ? Well, which way are you voting on this one?
Are you in or out on
show meeting?
I think sometimes, you know, you need a show meeting.
See, he's the one that
because
no,
you
he's
stop
the one
sucking
keeps,
up to Jason. He's,
he's probably listening right now.
I don't
he's
care.
The one that keeps shows. No, you want him to actually be professional. Just because you were not professional during your career in your approach to it, don't tell RJ not to be.
Okay.
You're a super bad
RJ.
Influence.
Listen, from now on,
you're super
you
bad
and Jason
influence.
Get together on those meetings.
Hey, this is a
let us know how it goes.
John and I. So
let
I,
me know how that works out.
So let me tell you something. So I was, I've been at another station before at 790. I've been at 610. I've been at 610 with John. I've been at 1560 with John. I've been at 97.5 with John. Right. Our program directors over the years were a guy who was completely on the way out. That John basically told the owner or the guy who ran the station, yeah, I'm not going to listen to him. Like early on, you said, I'm not listening to Mike Edmonds.
No.
And Dickie goes, hey, you have to partner, come talk to me. I said, okay, that's one guy we're not listening to. And I'm just going along. I guess
then,
me either.
And then Bill?
And then we had Bill Van Ryssdam, who didn't really know sports
radio
at all.
Didn't know. He didn't like sports.
He tried to change. We had a successful show. He goes, let's change the name of the show, the music. Let's change everything. Yeah, let's add Russ Small. It was like disaster. He single-handedly knocked off 70% of our ratings, right? Then we came over here to 1560. John was the boss. You know, seeing the Goodfellas, and they go, and the Lufthansa heist, and he goes, well, who's security? The guy goes, security? You're looking at him. It's a joke. That's what John was as a program director. He was that. Then I go to 790, and I have a real program director with Brian Erickson.
Did you have to have meetings and stuff?
Yeah. Every day after the show.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
You would not. Well, we did eventually had to do it every day after the show. I don't think you would have liked that. A lot of times it didn't last long, and we didn't talk that much about the show. But anyway.
We talked with RJ after the show. Hey, what's the bottom
line?
I can
just tell you that your existence in radio is probably, there's probably no other host who's ever had this level of existence where you almost have no bosses. You know, who's the program director now? Your program director was Jong. Was he really? Was he the boss of you? Was AJ really the boss?
Yeah.
You've literally been autonomous. You have been a one-man wrecking crew your entire life.
No, that's not true. I listen to the boss.
Who do you
I respect
to?
Authority.
You do?
I do. Total respect for authority. Todd.
Mike Edmonds?
Todd's my boss. Okay?
Have you ever
Mr. Gow.
Have you ever said this phrase ever? Todd better not tell me this. I'm just asking. Have you ever said that?
I never said
Got
that.
Got a hand on a Bible.
Time for a break, 7:42. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
He tries to tell me one thing.
No, it's not, I never said that. 713-780-3776 is the number.
I right, right wish he didn't say this on my daughter's wedding day.
It, listen, right now I'm talking about the Morley Law Firm. I might need a lawyer now because of you. And you know what? I got them here. Listen, here's the deal. Is if you're looking for a lawyer, you got it right here. You don't have to have them on retainer either. And there's a lot of this is free consultation. As a matter of fact, most of it is. I don't know. You give them a call, and they'll listen to whatever it is that you have, whatever problems that you have, and whatever your problem is. Be it you've got a problem with the insurance company. Be it you've been charged with some kind of crime. Be it somebody is suing you civilly. Be it you want to sue someone civilly. Be it you've been in an accident. Be it you have an issue with a doctor and you've got a malpractice suit. There's all kinds of stuff out there that you need representation for. Be it you have immigration problems, and that's a problem. That's a real problem, and you need help. Se habla español. And if you've got employees that are on your site and they've got immigration problems, tell them about the Morley Law Firm. Look, if you're looking for a great lawyer that is going to take care of any issue that you have, they got experience in just everything. I mean, and they handle everything. So give them a call. Make the call. Morley Law, 713-839-9955, 713-839-9955, or MorleyLaw.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, 746 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Lance, along with RJ. And you want in to talk about anything, you're more than welcome. You want to talk about the golf, what's going on. You got a LIV golfer who's actually leading the tournament, and that is not good. Dustin Johnson. Played great today. Played great both days. Kind of a little unexpectedly. He's not been playing well. And for him to be up there at the top of the leaderboard is totally sweet. Tiger is playing very, very poorly. Tiger just doesn't have it. Tiger will not be around over the weekend. Would have been a great story if he was able to play well. But he's 7 over as we speak and just not. He's just not hitting. He just when he lets one hand off the club, after he hits, you know it's not good. You a little worried about Altuve's knee?
Yeah, I am. We saw what happened last time he was injured, had a lower body injury. I think it bothered his speed. It bothered the consistency of his gait when he was rounding the bases. You and I were going Zapruder film on like minor league rehab starts where it looked like he had a hard time getting up and after a slide into third. Yeah, I'm a little worried about it. You know, at the age of 32, I worry a little bit about lower leg. Now it's not a
bruise kind of situation.
Yeah, it's going to be like a bone bruise or whatever. Right. You hope
they hurt though.
But that's what I mean. It takes a little longer because remember now he is to swing your lead leg. You're bringing all your weight forward or much of your weight forward.
Well, it's not only that, but he's got it seems like he's rejuvenated as far as running goes.
Yeah.
We've seen him beat out infield singles this year.
That's what I mean.
Stealing bases this year.
So he's got 8 stolen bases to 1 caught stealing. Over the last 3 years, he was 13 stolen bases to 11 caught stealings. And you're right, infield hits, that's what I'm talking about. He seems to have gotten his speed and range back. I am worried.
That adds, you know what, the way he gets infield singles in his career, I'm telling you – it's innumerable how many points he's added to his average because of that. All of the base hits that he gets, infield singles that he has gotten in his career that other guys wouldn't have gotten because they couldn't get down to first as fast as he does. I mean, that's how you add now, that which makes Tony Gwynn so awesome. Now Tony Gwynn wasn't slow.
No,
he wasn't slow. No, he wasn't slow, but he could have been thinner. And he might have had more points on his average, but he was such a good hitter. He could hit 300 plus, just going the other way and not get any infield singles. So, but Jose Altuve has relied on his legs, and when his legs haven't been there as good, he hasn't been as good. So this is a little disconcerting.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a soft tissue injury, so you would think, okay, well, there's a finite amount of time that this will bother Altuve. But if he comes back while it still hurts, you know, I would imagine it might take a little bit longer if he's constantly, you know, he's going to range on balls and dive for balls, slide, depending on, well, he's more of a, yeah, Altuve, I'm trying to remember, is Altuve a head first or foot first slider? I think he's foot first, actually. Bregman's a foot first slider a lot of times, but
Altuve can go both.
He can do both of them, but it could take, I'm just a little bit concerned. That's all. Maybe I shouldn't be a lot concerned. What if there's a chip in the bone? What if it's a deep bone bruise that lasts a while? Like, yeah, you don't have Yordan right now. And I'm still, by the way, when Yordan gets back, I'm still a little bit worried about Yordan. I'm still like, are we sure? Is he good?
Yeah.
We sure he's
good? No. Here's what you do with him, just like you're doing with the colors. Keep him out as long as you have to. Keep him out. No, keep him there. Keep him there. Do not bring him back before he is totally ready. You do not want this hand thing lingering all season long. Now, it may be something that is just not going to heal totally, and you're just going to have to, he's just going to have to deal with it. But you certainly do not want dude coming back and be in hurting. You just don't. Let him heal. How about the Royals with 10 unvaccinated players absent beat the Blue Jays? 3-1.
Swear this happens all the time.
It does.
Injured teams with players out in every sport are always the most dangerous.
It is amazing. It's
unbelievable how often this happens.
Okay, and I saw, I don't know who tweeted it or what, but it's a pretty good question. What is Major League Baseball going to do about this in the postseason?
What can you do?
What do you mean, what can you do?
Well, I guess the only thing you can do
is... Guess what,
is-
Toronto, you don't get to play at home. I mean, are you kidding me? A team is going to lose 10, however many guys that they don't have vaccinated in the postseason because you can't play up in Toronto?
You're going to take a team's home field advantage away because a player didn't get vaccinated?
You're going to take away 10 players
from the postseason? I can tell you, you're taking revenue.
From the postseason?
No.
And that's the only place, though, in baseball that, you're losing.
It's not Toronto's fault that that's the country that they're in. It's always been that way. You cannot take the revenue out of Toronto's
It is the country's fault. Last year, the Blue Jays played in Tampa.
It's not Toronto's fault.
Year, they played in Buffalo.
But, John, you can't ask them not to take revenue on parking, concessions, ticket sales. You're going to lose so much revenue, so much home court. Who's going to make up for
change
all that revenue?
Change your law, then. Because you're only team that is prohibiting players from
it's
playing.
It's not Toronto who's doing it.
Canada.
It's not the Blue Jays. Exactly.
It's Canada.
You can't do anything. You cannot punish the Blue Jays for the rules and laws of a country. You can't do it. Why weren't the Nets being forced to play?
Extremely unfair. Extremely unfair.
It doesn't matter. That's what it is. So... you're just going to have to either get vaccinated or deal with it, one or the other. But they're not taking – Toronto has already lost money from – you already lost money during COVID. You lost money when you had to play games in another place. Why don't you just pick them up and just move them out of Toronto?
Why do you think all those truckers were striking?
I don't care about the truckers.
Why do you think – because it's stupid what they're
doing. I don't care about the truckers, and I'm not trying to make a statement about if it's stupid or not stupid. I'd like to see it lifted as well. But what I'm telling you is – if you're Major League Baseball, you cannot take that money away from Toronto. I mean, and that's if they make the playoffs. They're not in right now. But if they make the playoffs,
Canada,
you go to
change
Toronto,
your law, or we're taking the money away. That's that. Change your rules, or we're taking the money away.
What money?
The money for we're going to take the games away, the playoff games away, because we're not going to have a team losing 10 players postseason.
Canada is not going to change.
Well, then we're
going to
move the game.
They're not going to change the law. Then if I were Toronto, honestly, I'd sue Major League Baseball for millions.
Sue them.
Well, why don't Major League Baseball say, look, we'll give you $6 million to play somewhere else?
That's fine. Then they'll do it, yeah. If it's a matter of how much money they'd make, then that's easy. But you have to lose your home field advantage.
You also have no home field. Why? You have to lose home field advantage because why?
Because it's unfair to the teams that have to go there. Whatever team has to go there has to play 10 men down.
It's not unfair when this is the rules of their league. Their league also says, look, they've already created precedents. If you were vaccinated, you didn't have the same rules as an unvaccinated player when their COVID vaccine stuff was going on and the COVID, you know, and all the COVID violations they had where they had to kick out the Milwaukee pitchers and send them back because they violated this and that. They've already shown that they have had separate rules. There's nothing Major League Baseball is going to do about Canada's rules. Honestly, it is a slippery slope because I'm assuming the same thing was with the Raptors.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is this the only team in all of professional sports
now that
who has this many players unvaccinated? Because I've never heard it being an issue for anybody else. Is it only the Royals?
I don't know. I don't know what the vaccinated rule
is. Have you heard about this with any other team who's played in Toronto?
I have not.
I've never heard it. So I'm not changing rules based on the Royals.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that.
But if the team that's coming in there to play them in the playoffs, that's not going to be the Royals. Let's say the Mariners, who are on pace to be an ass kicker in the postseason, just like I predicted. Let's say they have to go up to Toronto and they have 10 unvaccinated players. It's just not fair.
I'm sorry you don't like it, but they're not changing the rules of a country. And Major League Baseball is not going to ask the Toronto Blue Jays to leave when everyone's got the same opportunity to, you know, you have a choice whether or not you want to get the vaccine.
Huge advantage for Toronto.
If they play the Royals, yes. So much so that they lost yesterday.
Right.
So maybe Toronto's not going to be a playoff team. And currently they're not a playoff team.
Toronto is too. Yeah.
Are they right now?
They're tied for walk-off. Yeah.
Oh, they're tied right now.
Yeah. Okay. Or they're right there. It's a game.
I think they're just
there's four teams right there for three spots. Who is that? LJ? Is that LJ?
Yeah.
Could be LJ. Let's get him in here. Hey, LJ.
Hey guys, I'm just curious, Lance. I totally understand where you're coming from here, but what's the difference between Major League Baseball taking, making the Blue Jays play in a different city in the postseason and taking all the revenue away from the Braves from Atlanta because of a law that the Braves had nothing to do with, right? To me, it seems, other than, you know, the politics are, you know, opposite, but I mean,
well, that might be enough.
The other, no?
By the way, that might be enough. The politics are the opposite. I mean, if we're being honest about the way things are running right now, that might be enough. But that's a pretty good point, LJ. That's a pretty good point. Major League Baseball took the All-Star Game. Now, the All-Star Game is an ancillary game that does not – it helps a city, but it also
– it means money to the city.
It doesn't mean – yeah, to the city. It doesn't mean anything to Major League Baseball in terms of – wins, losses, championships. It doesn't It doesn't mean anything there.
No, this does, though. And this one does. An unfair advantage for Toronto if other teams lose players because they're unvaccinated.
But I don't think you can punish an organization because a country's laws are not the same as your laws. If you really hate it this much, demand Toronto leave the country of Canada and
demanded they leave the country the whole year last year.
And go to Des Moines. I know. How long are you going to keep asking them not to play Major League Baseball?
Until they wake up over there.
John, it's not been an issue except right now.
Until they wake up. Well, if there is an issue in the postseason, now you've got a problem.
Okay, just let me know when it happens because so far all year I've never heard any issues other than the Royals.
Well, right now we got the Royals. We do have an issue. And then they won. 757 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Zach Kiefer is going to join us and give us an update about our local Andrew Luck.
It's actually a really interesting story. It's a long story in the Athletic, and he's got a six part for the Athletic podcast. He's got a 6-part podcast about how and why Andrew Luck shut it down. And he's got some great info. I was in the room when Chris Ballard me and Chris were talking. I was in camp, and Andrew Luck asked if he could come in and talk to Chris. So I got kicked out of there 3 days later. Or 4 days later, Andrew, not even 4 to 5 days later, not even a week later, Andrew Luck was out of football. So it was a weird, I said, hey, did he quit then? And I'll tell you what his answer was when we come back.
Well, now Craig DeCerf.
Craig DeCerf doesn't quit. He didn't quit on anything. He's not a quitter. He finds ways to help you out. Now, this is not to say that he and his staff are going to be pushy when it comes to the car buying experience. That's the worst thing, as a matter of fact. Nothing is worse than having a car business that is just so brutal to deal with. Like, oh my gosh, as soon as I stepped out of my car, someone's on top of me. They won't leave me alone. What does it take to get you in the car? All they do at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC is answer any questions you might have. They'll ask you what you're looking for, and they'll show you some of the vehicles that they have. They will show you some of the offers they have in terms of financing deals, 0% financing. For example, right now, this Chevy Silverado pickup truck has a 2.49% APR, but the GMC Sierra, some of the vehicles they have in stock is 0%. So are you looking for a finance rate? Are you looking for a lease? Are you looking for a purchase? What are the safety features, the colors? They'll help you in that regard, but you are in charge of the sale at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. Always the best prices and the best trade-in value. Go to LanceZCars.com.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.